St. Dominic's Catholic Church in San Francisco presents a homily by Father Christopher Wetzel on August 11th, 2019, the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today's Gospel is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 to 48, proclaimed by Deacon Charles McNeil.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock. For your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that will not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach or moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. Gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes in and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'The master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the maidservants and maidservants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an hour unknown, and will punish that servant severely and assign him to a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be severely beaten. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Like many high school students, I occasionally fell into conversations with my fellow students about religion and which one was the best. There is one conversation, I don't remember quite how we got to this point, but one of my friends said, "Well, yeah, but you eat your God. I was a bit taken aback. But the logic is quite clear. As Catholics, we believe that the Eucharist is Jesus. And we believe that Jesus is God. Therefore, when we receive communion, we are eating our God. But what my friend was really saying was, well, that's absurd. Who would dare to eat God? What kind of all-powerful God would allow himself to be casually chewed? Something's wrong. Something's not quite right. That's not how you're supposed to treat God. That's not what you owe to God. Which raises the question, what do we owe to God? How ought we to treat God? Well, first of all, God is the source of everything that exists. Without God, nothing would be here. No universe, no life, no people, no you, no nothing. But we do exist, but not through our own power or effort. We owe our whole being to something else, a creator that had the power to create us. We just heard in the psalm that the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness. Now, we respect and fear natural powers. If a firefighter does not respect and fear fire, he will be burned. If a mountaineer does not respect and fear the mountain, he will fall to his death. If a sailor does not respect the sea, he will drown. How much more should we revere God who made all these things, but who also promises us much more? And so should we not be deathly afraid to casually consume our God? Contemplating and reflecting upon God's power and goodness in making us gives rise to devotion and prayer within us. Just as little children devote themselves to their parents and love to spend time together, so everyone, has a need, a natural hunger, to devote themselves to a higher power, to prayerfully be in the presence of the divine. We have a duty to our Creator and to ourselves to fully know and live out this truth, that the world does not revolve around us. And I think we all know people who are utterly miserable because they don't quite get that. Worship of the truth perfects us. And we do this by adoration, whereby one uses one's body to reverence God, and by sacrifice, whereby one concretely signifies subjection and honor. So, from the realization that there is a creator who is not us, we conclude that we should have devotion and prayer, adoration and sacrifice. But we still haven't answered the question of what is the right way to treat God. Maybe we should adore the moon, or maybe we should sacrifice goats to the sun. Who knows? So God speaks to us. Jesus fully reveals God's plan for us, the forgiveness of sins, and the spreading of the kingdom of God. We are to adore the one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are to offer Jesus as our sacrifice, as our oblation. So, like the servants in the gospel, we have been given the gift to know what we are to do and how we can revere the God who has made us. And so now we have a choice. Jesus urges us to have faith, to provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Where is your treasure? Do not be like that servant in the gospel who knew his master's will, but did not act accordingly. We too can wonder, is the master really coming back? We can delude ourselves into thinking, why can't I just eat and drink and mistreat my fellow servants? And this is why faith is the substance of what is hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If the wicked servant had grounded himself instead on the evidence of what is real but not seen, on the reality of his master's fidelity and the certainty of his promised return, he would have been far more happy. Rather than a beating, Jesus says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he, the master, will gird himself and have them recline at table and proceed to wait on them." What a wonderful turnabout. The master serves the servants. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By faith, he received the power to generate children, even though he was past the normal age. Why did he have faith? Well, St. Paul tells us he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. And then what happened? There came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore of the sea. To have faith is to trust that the one speaking is trustworthy. And who is more trustworthy than God, the creator of all that is, who is truth itself? And so faith is the right way to treat our God. Faith is what we owe to God. By faith, we have the substance of what is hoped for, the evidence of the unseen promise of true joy, of permanent peace, of heavenly bliss. By faith, we trust the words of Jesus, who is most trustworthy, that your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. And his words, "My body is true food, and my blood true drink. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you." By faith, we know that when the priest says the words of Jesus, "This is my body, this is my blood, do this in memory of me," it truly is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. This is the highest and most perfect act of worship, the greatest possible sacrifice. Because unlike normal food that becomes united and part of us, in the Eucharist, rather, it is we who are united to God. If you want to grow in faith, religion is necessary. Devotion is necessary. Prayer is necessary. Adoration and sacrifice are necessary. As St. James tells us, faith without works is dead. So today I urge you to devote yourselves to the Lord. Be with him in prayer. Adore him in his power. And unite yourself to the greatest of all sacrifices, the Eucharist. And have faith that the one who promises us the kingdom and gives us himself as food